drug abuse, alcoholism, domestic violence, and a whole laundry list of issues. I'm learning to be loved again, period, by everybody, not just by myself, but by my husband and definitely by God. I want to talk to you tonight about my story, and it's not the first time that I've told it. It's probably going to be a little bit different than the last time I told it. But when I was 15, I entered into a life of drugs and guns and motorcycles and violence. And I really didn't understand that that was wrong. Now, I grew up in a family that was functionally dysfunctional, if that makes sense. You know, we functioned, but we were about as dysfunctional as they came. One grandfather drank and run around and done whatever he wanted to do, and the other grandfather had a girlfriend for 50 years of a 62-year marriage. Okay, so that was normal in my life. You know, I didn't know any different. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. So at 15, I got messed up into drugs and alcohol. I was still in school. Matter of fact, I was probably freshman, sophomore. Friends didn't know it. Family didn't know it. You know, I lived two separate lives. I made straight A's in school, graduated top 10% of my class, went on to school to be a nurse, did all of that, what was expected. But behind the scenes, I'd come home to, where you been? What you been doing? Who you been with? How come you're 5 minutes late? What'd you spend money on today? You didn't tell me you needed to spend money. So that was the beginning of the life. I was 19 years old the first time I got married, and I married a 53-year-old man the first time I got married, okay? My hair color was never right. My hair was never the right length. My makeup was never right. I either weighed too much or I never weighed enough. Didn't understand what abuse was, but yet I functioned as a nurse. And I protected my patients from that abuse, okay? Because I was very on the forefront to say, hey, you can't do that. That's wrong. But I went home every day and lived in mental, emotional, and verbal abuse and didn't think anything wrong about it. Well, come out of that marriage, went right back into another one. This time I went in with a one percenter lifestyle. And I don't know if you all know what that is, but I went into a motorcycle gang. I became a piece of property, and that's what I was. I didn't have any choices. I didn't choose my food. I didn't choose my clothes. I didn't choose my makeup. I didn't choose where we went, and I definitely didn't open my mouth in public because I didn't want my face slapped, because it would happen. I've had my jaw broke. I've had my eye socket busted. I've had 6 ribs cracked, and I've had a broken femur, all from this life, okay? So that life, you know, I thought it was grand. Motorcycles, we run drugs with the best of them. We run guns with the best of them. You know, and my family still didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. The one woman that knew me the best was my grandmother, and she knew something was wrong, but I didn't open my mouth. So that lasted several years, and I kind of slowed down with that lifestyle after 2 kids. And then, you know, the kids were getting bigger and the life was picking back up again. You know, more drugs and more alcohol and more, you know, just a life of misery. By that time, I was probably snorting 10 to 12 Lore tabs up my nose every day just to function through a day's time. There wasn't any swallowing because the pills didn't do me any good when I took them like you were supposed to take them. So, you know, you crush those things up and up your nose they go, and man, you get a rush in about 2 minutes, you know, kind of like cocaine. You know, it just kicks in and you use it and you do it. And then all of a sudden, my world turned upside down. The one woman I trusted the most got sick. And I had to pull my head together because that's when she needed me the most. 2014, my grandmother got ill, and that's when she decided to go for hospice. Well, I was still snorting pain pills, and I was still living in drugs and alcohol and you know, the wild side of life. And I'd been to church as a kid. You know, I went on Sunday mornings, and I stood up, and we sang songs, and I heard the preacher preach, and everybody shook their hands, and, you know, it was all great. And you went home, and you come back next Sunday, and you did the whole thing all over again. So as I got older, you know, people would say, you know, you need to come to church. God forgives and God loves. And I'm looking at these people thinking, you have no idea the baggage that I pack in my trunk. The junk is just unimaginable. You know, I've been to motorcycle rallies and Beach Bend. I've been to Sturgis, Kentucky. I've been out to South Dakota to Sturgis on bike rallies, you know, and that's some wild times. You know, I've been beat, I've been kicked, I've been stomped. I've been abused physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually. You can name it. I've been through it. Okay. And I don't tell you all this as to say, oh, look at me, because I'm here to tell you, if you look at my past, you're missing the big picture. And I tell everybody this, you're missing the big picture because you're missing God's grace and mercy, and you're missing the person that's standing here in front of you today. Okay. So 2014, I had to get clean, and I had to get clean really quick. So I stopped. I went through opiate withdrawals on my own, you know, with two kids, trying to work, trying to take care of a grandmother who was ill, trying to be the person I needed to be. And and all this time, you know, I've been through several marriages, and I married the one man that I thought was different than everybody else. I didn't have any bells and whistles. You know, he's not beating me. He's not hitting on me. He's not cussing me. But yet, when I went back to Brass after our divorce, I scored just as high on that abuse assessment as I did on the one where everything was physical. Okay? And we're talking like 30 questions, and this old gal scored yes on 29 out of 30 both times. Okay, so that's probably about the highest that my Brass counselor had seen. And so that was like in 2015. I got into Brass, and my grandmother was progressively getting worse. And we were sitting at the kitchen table one day, and she said, I want to ask you something. And she said, have you done drugs? And I looked at her, and I said, you want the truth, right? And she said, yes, don't you lie to me. Okay. I said, yeah, I've done drugs, probably with the best of them. I said, about 10, 12 pills a day I was snorting up my nose back last year when you got sick and you decided you wanted to do hospice. And she said, so you've come off that by yourself? And I said, yeah, because you needed me. And she just kind of looked at me. And by the time I found Pathway, I was already a year into my own recovery. And didn't use treatment centers, didn't go for Suboxone, didn't go for anything else. I, you know, went through the opiate withdrawals on my own, was very miserable, worst time of my life. Not something I would ever recommend anybody ever thinking is, you know, just for fun, because it's not. And so then I found church and was very hesitant. Started out at I Live in Scottsville. And the pastor is a high school friend of mine, and he looked at me and he said, you need to come to church. And I said, you know, roof's going to fall in on me when I go. He said, no. So they had a outside service in June of that year, of 2015. So I went, hottest day in the summer. So Kevin looks at me and he says, you picked the hottest day of the year to come to an outside service when thunderstorms are predicted. I said, yeah, because you know what? If I get struck by lightning, I die instantly. I'm good. If I go to church and that building falls on me, my fat self has to suffer till somebody can move them steel beams. Okay? Nah, not into that. So I started at I Live, and shortly after that, Kevin preached a message, one of my favorite scriptures to this day. It's Matthew 15, 22 through 28, and it talks about everybody having a place at the master's table, regardless of what's in your past. And so that really made an impact on my life. And I started doing Bible study, and I met Mamie, which some of you know Mamie. She's not here tonight. And Mamie brought me to Pathway in September of 2015. And I'm like, Mamie, what do I need Pathway for? I'm already clean. You know, I'm not snorting pain pills anymore. What do I need Pathway for? She's like, well, you got junk in your trunk. You need to come with me. So Mamie drug me to Pathway, and literally that's how it worked. She said, you need to be here. And I was like, I'm good with this. And she's like, no, you're not. So since then, I've been coming to Pathway. You know, I'm here, and sometimes I'm out of town, and I'm back and everything. And my husband, my new husband, most of you all know Paul, we met at church. at iLive. He was already going to iLive when I started going. And at first, Paul kind of avoided me, kind of like I had the plague, okay? Because he knew I wasn't out of the abusive situation that I needed to be out of. And he knew that the man I was married to was a very dark individual. So when I finally got out of that, Paul started talking, and we started hanging out, and one thing led to another, and come this September, we've been married 2 years. Now, when I tell you this, you need to understand that I just left domestic violence 2 years ago, okay? I left it in June, and I found Paul in July, 2 years ago, okay? Wasn't looking for anybody, didn't want a relationship, wasn't interested in nobody, period. Had been beat, had been abused, had been, my self-esteem was shot, my self-respect was gone, didn't have any. And so over the last 2 years, Paul has worked with me and been very, very patient, because I still don't make very good choices. I have trouble deciding what I'm going to wear. We go out to a restaurant and I can't decide what I'm going to eat. May get up to go to church on a Sunday morning, or even to go to work, and I can't figure out what I'm going to wear for clothes. Okay, I just can't. Choices overwhelm me. Okay, I don't like them. Didn't have to make them for 27 years of my life, and now all of a sudden I have to make choices every day. I have to decide what I'm going to eat. I have to decide what I'm going to wear. I have to decide what time I'm going to bed, where I'm going, how I'm going to get. I don't like it. Okay, I just don't like it. It's very overwhelming. But today I can make a choice. 2 years ago, I wasn't allowed to make a choice. If I made a choice 2 years ago, I got my head slapped. I got my face, my mouth mashed. I got my hair jerked backwards. I got in trouble for walking two steps in front of my husband, because I should be walking two steps behind him, because I'm lesser of a person than he is, because I'm a woman. I'm not a man. You know, and this is the life that I lived. I was a piece of property, just like your car, just like your house, just like your vehicle, whatever it is you have. That's where I was in life. And today, I am not 100% fixed. But I am a lot better than I used to be. I am clean. This past April was my 4-year mark. Okay? I'm clean. Is it easy? No, it's not. Every day is a challenge for me. I made a promise to my grandmother before she passed away in November of 15 that I would never put another pill up my nose. And I haven't. Has that been one of the hardest promises I've ever made in my life? You sure bet it is. Because there have been days that I have been so overwhelmed and so stressed that I didn't know whether to turn left or right or go straight or just sit down and let it all work itself out. But I don't put things up my nose. I don't drink. I don't even hang around with the people I used to hang around with. I have new friends. And my story is difficult because there's so much more to it, but there is so much that those parts don't matter anymore, if that makes sense. That is a part of me that God fixed. You know, yes, I live with the no peripheral vision every day, and I live with the migraines, and I live with the pain in the hip and everything else, but I'm alive. And I'm sober, and I'm clean. And I'm not living in abuse, and I'm not being mistreated. And those are the things that I have to remind myself on a daily basis. And, you know, my theory in life is nobody is meant to be born to be treated as an object or a possession, and nobody is less or greater than anybody else. You know, God didn't create me to be somebody's doormat. He didn't create me to be somebody's punching bag. And, you know, I kind of laugh and cut up and go on, and people say, well, how many times have you been married? Well, I've been married as many times as I've been an old man's sweetheart to a young man's punching bag. And that's exactly how it's been. I was married to a 53-year-old man at the age of 19. And by the time I was in my early 30s, I was married to a man that was 10, 12 years older than I am. But it ranged. And that whole time, I never was married to a man younger than me or my own age, because I was taught that that was wrong. You don't marry somebody your own age because those are kids. Well, you know what? If those are kids, what am I? Because, you know, in the life of abuse and the life of motorcycles, when you become an old woman to somebody, regardless of your age, you're taught that people younger than you are off limits because they are kids and you're not allowed to be with them and you're not allowed to do things with them because that violates the rules. You know, when you're a piece of property and you live in a motorcycle world, if your husband or your old man, whatever the phrase for him is, tells you that you need to go to so-and-so's house, you better pack your bag and go, because if you say no, you're going to pack bruises for the next 6 months because you opened your mouth and didn't do what you were told to do. I don't handle things very well. I startle real easy. You know, my husband can walk through the house and I not know he's behind me and step up on me, and I just about jump out of my skin. We ride motorcycles with Greg and Lorna, and they'll tell you, if they get too close up on my right side and I don't know that they're there, I jerk, and when I jerk, it makes our bike wobble, okay? So this is a really, you know, it's difficult. It's real difficult to learn to be a person again. I'm not a piece of property. I packed a property tattoo for 27 years, and finally, a couple years ago, I got my tattoo covered up, and a friend of mine saw that and said, when did you do that? And I said, well, a couple weeks ago. And they were like, did you ask permission? I said, I don't need permission no more, because I am me. Nobody owns me. I'm not my husband's property. I'm not his motorcycle. I'm not his car. I'm not anything that he owns. I am his partner. And they're like, well, you didn't ask the other people. I said, you know what? I'm not going to ask the other people, because I don't care. You know, you don't normally see women get out of that lifestyle. It doesn't happen very often. Usually if you get out, there's one way out, and that's in a pine box and you're put 6 foot under. But when somebody mistreats you and you're not the cause of it, you get out with the stipulation that you never go back. Now, most of you all know my husband belongs to the Revelators Ministry in Scottsville. You'll see him wear his vest with a patch on it. You will never see me wear a patch. I don't like leather. I'm not going to wear leather. Ain't going to put it on. Not going to put a patch on, because that's not me. But today, I am 43 years old. I have a good husband. I am clean. I'm sober. And I'm not abused. And to be able to stand here and tell you all of that is a total difference compared to where I was just 4 years ago. Just 2 years ago. Because when I started dating Paul, I didn't want a relationship. We tried real hard to stay away from each other, but God kept pushing us together for a reason. We are totally opposite. I have come from the wildlife, and my husband comes from the ultra-conservative life. But in the process, we balance each other out. And that's what it's all about. You know, I listen to Azure Detail about Phoenix Rising. And, you know, when she made the statement that she was afraid that the church would fall in on her, I was like, yep, understand, been there, got that concept, you know. But God loves us no matter what. No matter how many times I've been beat, no matter how many times I've been passed around as a piece of property, no matter how much my body's been violated or my mind's been distorted, he still loves me. Unconditional love, because he knew me before I even knew what I was going to be. And I don't think that God put me in that situation, because I don't think our God is a punishing God. But I think that everybody's path is determined, so they know in life what their process is going to be. Today, I'm a stronger person. I'm not, like I said, completely 100% the best at everything, but I'm a lot better than where I used to be. So I just wanted to share my story and kind of let everybody know where I've been, because I'm usually the quiet, you know, except for Greg and Lorna, and I don't have a whole lot to say, and my husband does a lot of everything. So, but if it hadn't been for God's grace and mercy, I wouldn't be standing here today.